1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
We have a flashback by request this hour. Our webcast, where you can watch us perform the show, is on November the 11th. You must have a backstage pass, and in order to get one, go to www.philhendryshow.com and get it. And our television show, the NBC TV show Teachers, that I will be a part of the cast, the production has been pushed back yet again. What does it mean? I don't know. I don't know. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a cynic. I don't believe anything. I don't believe in anything until it happens. I don't believe in anything until it sits right in front of me smiling at me. Were I one of the apostles, I would have been Thomas. I would have said, yeah, really? Crucified, huh? Uh-huh. Well, let's see the holes. Come on. Let's go. And they would have, you know, they would have bagged on me in the Bible, but that's cool. Just Thomas was the guy that doubted Jesus. He would have been the show me guy. He would have been the cat from Missouri. He probably would have been elected president of the United States, were he not a Greek or a Jew, I should say. If he wasn't Jewish, he would have been president of the United States. In any event, the whole thing that I'm blathering about here is the production of Four Teachers has been pushed back a little bit. Now, everybody says that it's a good thing, but we'll just see. I'm just a cynic, man. I don't believe anything. You know, I hear all kinds of excuses. But it's cool. I got a day job. So anyway, getting back to what we were talking about, I want you to know something. I turn my cell phone off. Now, I know that that's a daring thing to do, but I do it. I turn my cell phone off because I'm not going to be a slave to it. And I'll tell you why I'm telling you this. Today, I got into my car, and as I'm driving to work, the first thing I do is I turn my cell phone on. I don't have it on. Sometimes I have it on at the house if Maria needs to call me, she's at work. Most of the time, because it's easier to reach me on the cell phone than it is, I guess, on the house phone. And, you know, so, but most of the time, the thing's off. The first time I turn it on is when I get in the car. And what happens? Well, you know what happens. Within about 30 seconds, beep, beep, neep, neep, it's screaming at you. It's like a little baby. You ever know your cell phone's like a baby and it needs to be fed? Knee deep. And it's that time I want to pick it up and I want to throw it into the ocean. Just pick it up and just heave that thing, man. Like Clemente to home plate, baby. Right off the right field wall. Boom, you're out. I noticed this. It's like a living thing. And it sits in it. Knee, knee, knee. And I looked at it today, I said, I'm not going to pick you up and burp you. I'm not going to push the buttons and find out what's in there. What is so urgent? Because what's happening, when you hear that beep, 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 you know what you're hearing? You're hearing message, message, important, your life. Your life, your life, your life. Something's happening in your life. Somebody needs you. And if you don't have that thing turned on and you're not getting your messages, then someone's mad at you. Or someone thinks that you're dead. One of the two, right? So that's why I decided I'll turn my phone off. I'm not a slave to it. I'm not going to have it on all the time. I'll turn it off. And you know what? I'll tell the cell phone what to do. It doesn't tell me what to do. I'll live my life the way I want to live my life. And no cell phone's going to tell me how to do it. And so I turn it off, and it can sit there and rot for all I care. And when I turn it on and it screams at me, beep, 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 beep. And I just glance down at it. Really? You need? That's nice. But of course I do what everybody does. I pick it up and I turn it on and I find out what. And I don't know about you, but every time I hear that beep beep, I think there's just bad news. There's never good news on a cell phone. Never. Not for me, there isn't. The last year, I've gotten one piece of good news. That's why my agent called me and said that TV show got picked up by NBC. The rest of it, nothing but bad news. Don't forget, you have to have the appointment with the thing. Or, hey, listen, can you stop off and sign a, you know, it's always some demand on my life. Now, I was thinking about it today. I'm driving along, and you've heard people say this. I'm not the first one to say it. But there was a time, and the reason why I tell you this, because I'm an old creep, and I remember the way things were. We didn't have to have phones, man. I mean, and if the cell phone had been invented the way it should have been invented, it would be hotwired into two numbers, your home and 911. Those are the only places that need you urgently. Like, for instance, I like the idea of my wife or my daughter having a cell phone if there's an emergency. They can call either me, they can call 911. All the other things, they don't need to call. But they can do what they want. All I'm saying is, for a guy like me, just cats like me, I don't need them at all, man, and I don't want to have them. Now, somebody doesn't have a cell phone. My web thug, Doug, he didn't have a cell phone. He doesn't believe in them. It's against his religion, and he won't have anything to do with them. And he's a bigger man than me. He's a better man than me, and he's also not married. But when I get into my car and I have to be afraid of something that's about, oh, I don't know, what do you figure, 5 inches high and about 2 inches wide, and I'm afraid of it? Oh, why don't you give that guy another 7 and 7, bud? Head over to his house and start tending bar, okay?
Mr. Hall doesn't drink on Friday night much.
Yeah, maybe he ought to start. What's 5 inches long? I didn't even say did I say 5 inches long? I thought I said hi. All right. In any event.
He thought you were talking about your thing.
Really? Is that what he thought, bud? Gee, thanks for filling me in on that, man. Anyway, I'm taking my cell phone and I'm running it over tonight. By the way, when I was on in Miami, one of the greatest things I ever heard, Rick and Suds did a bit once. They were our morning show on WIOD. They dropped a cell phone out of an airplane with it on. You know, so the dude's up in the plane. And he's maybe some other cats have done this, but it was the only time I ever heard it. And I go, okay, you ready? Yeah, he's talking on his cell phone. And he took it, he chucked it out of an airplane, I don't know, a couple thousand feet up, right? So you're hearing this, you're just hearing space. And then all of a sudden, it was very sad. Then another guy shot his phone. It might be something we want to bring back. All right, we got a flashback by request coming up. And if you'd like to request a flashback, a segment of the Phil Hendry Show you want to hear again, you can email us at phs@philhendryshow.com. But the latest flashback coming up in just a moment.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back, 1-800-449-8686.
See, one of the actors in our show, Teachers, is Sarah Shahi. You've seen her picture on our website. Beautiful woman, talented. She's on a show called The L Word, which is on Showtime. And now I hear, well, you know, Sarah's got a commitment with The L Word, so she can't start doing our show. Well, don't you think that's something they would have figured out before they signed her for our show? Dun, dun, dun! Sounds like a load to me. I'm not calling anybody a liar. I'm just saying, is it the corporate shuffle of the fast boogie-woogie or what? Anyway, like I said, I got a day gig, and unfortunately it's this one. Now, let's move on to our flashback by request. I dig my job, man. This ain't even a job. This is an adventure. Here it is. This is a request from Aaron. He says, hi, Phil, can you please replay the evolution versus creationism discussion between Lloyd and Harvey? Lloyd Bonafide, the retired heating and plumbing executive, and Harvey Wireman, the attorney. Every time those two get together, I laugh until I heave oceans from my eyes. Thank you, Aaron. P.S. I work for the, quote, cluster radio stations, which you were on in Seattle. And since they canceled you, their, quote, coffee hasn't been the same. Savvy? Well, we certainly do, Aaron. And for peeing into their coffee up there, we're going to send you a gift certificate for a mission pack. All right, now, here it is, by request, Lloyd versus Harvey on evolution and creationism. Lloyd is a Korean War veteran. Harvey is also a Marine Corps veteran. Is that correct, Harvey? Sir? Lloyd, you there? You got to punch the button, bud.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Jesus.
Yeah, I'm right here.
Yeah, you're Korea.
Yes.
Harvey?
Hi, Phil, and a very pleasant good evening to you.
And you're a Marine Corps veteran from World War II?
Yes.
All right, well, we want to talk about creationism versus evolution.
Yeah, I heard that. I don't know what we've got to do with that.
Now, why do you want to say it?
Because you guys are, I don't know, Mr. Wireman, you've been involved in a lot of high-profile cases, and Mr. Bonafide, you're involved with your church. Aren't you a creationist?
Yes, I believe in creationism. I certainly don't believe that we... You know, I don't subscribe to looking like an ape, if that's what you mean.
And you do believe in evolution, Mr. Wyman, right?
Yes, I believe in evolution. So what is this to you? Your name is what, Lloyd?
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm very good. You're at the Navy, huh?
Yes, sir. I was at United States Naval, out of the Naval District, 4th Naval District in Honolulu, with the destroyer fleet Nimitz.
Oh, okay. Well, what do you want us to do?
Well, just tell me, why are you against creationism?
I'm against creationism because, with all due respect, I think only an idiot would believe that all of a sudden the big magical genie said, woo, and there it all came. I don't know.
There it all came, huh? Sir, regardless of you calling me an idiot...
Well, I didn't. The present company accepted.
All right, well, I think if you're trying to tell me that I come from a family of monkeys, mister, you're talking to the wrong guy.
I didn't say you came from a family of monkeys.
That's what anyone who believes in evolution is saying. That you come... You see, Henry got us on to hear us argue. I understand that now.
No, I didn't. I wanted to hear what you got.
Why you got us talking about this?
I just want to hear you. I know that you've been involved in some high-profile cases.
Okay, that's me. What has Lloyd got to do with it?
Yeah, what do I got to do with it?
Aren't you a very religious guy?
Yes, I am very religious.
Well, ain't you believe in creationism?
Ain't you believe in creationism? Jesus, what? Are you got a broadcaster's job?
Never mind. I'll continue. I am a believer in creationism because, mister, when you call me a member of a family of apes, you're on the fighting side of me.
All right, my turn?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a very intellectual argument, sir.
Why not?
Because it doesn't speak to the science. And the science is on the side of evolutionists. There's no science on the side of creationists. And,
you see, you called me an idiot. Let me say that line of thinking is stupid. And excuse me.
Well, I said present company accepted.
I still think you're an idiot.
All right. Then let me say that the biggest reason why I believe in evolution is because you look like an ape. You look like you came from apes.
You've never met me, and I would like the record to show that he's trying to be inflammatory.
Well, you're just saying that to get him angry.
Well, he's making me angry, calling me an idiot.
You called me an idiot, and now you say I look like an ape.
Yes, that's my primary reason for believing in evolution. You look like a baboon.
Well, sir, the reason why I don't believe in evolution is because I know that I came from the family of Adam, but looking at you, I think you came from King Kong's family. I think that you're one of Kong's in-laws.
I'm one of Kong's in-laws. Is the host there?
Yes.
How many more of these insults do I have to take?
Look, I thought that we could have an intelligent conversation.
Oh, baloney. You know it would devolve into this.
I didn't think it would turn into this, no.
I don't want to take these insults.
You said that...
Look it. You look and you sound like you've got a purple and pink butt.
Oh, so is that a baboon reference? I just want to be clear. Let me look it up. I'm going online. Yep, baboon. All right.
Okay, what about that?
Okay, look at that.
No. I believe in evolution because this guy and every other member of the United States Navy looks like a chimpanzee. How do I know? I used to look at those guys, wave goodbye to them as though we hit a beach.
Oh, so you're saying we're a bunch of wusses for staying behind, huh?
Your arms are longer than your bodies. Thank you.
Wow, there it is, a flashback by request. I don't know what I got going on here. Who is on the line?
It's Harvey Weirman.
What, Harvey?
Phil, I was just listening to that flashback, the flash up that you had there. And
the flashback.
The what do you call it?
Flashback.
Yeah, and I heard that guy say he didn't believe in evolution because he came from the family of Adam, which is a religious reference.
Right.
But then he said he thought I was one of King Kong's in-laws, which I thought was a weak attempt at copying my humor. But more to the point...
Yeah, it kind of was.
But more to the point, wouldn't that also mean that he believes in evolution? Because if I'm one of King Kong's in-laws, I am a monkey.
I don't know, man. I mean, you know, neither one of you guys that night, that was a long time ago, neither one of you guys sounded like you wanted to debate it.
Well, it was a stupid idea. You know, I don't mind talking about it, but that guy's some kind of a farmer. I don't know.
Well, he was a man who was a member of his church who believed in creationism. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah, well, I was just listening to that. I was coming over here to Woody and Eddie's to get I wanted to come over here and just be by myself, just sit by myself for a while, because, you know, I've been going out with that dancer, and she's at the house now sleeping it off. because we had a kind of a wild afternoon, and so I'm over here. I'm just going to give myself a nightcap and then drive home. Hopefully I'll drive, you know, I won't kill anybody on the way. But, you know, being 78, they're not going to put me in prison.
Well, have a good night.
So you don't care whether I have a designated driver?
No, I do not. Goodbye. King Kong's in-laws. By the way, they're remaking King Kong. Jack Black. Did I tell you that? Yeah, I guess I talked about it already. I'm looking forward to that, man. First of all, I like Jack Black. And second of all, I like King Kong. The rest of it, I couldn't care less. There's only two things in that movie I like. Jack Black and King Kong. Who's playing the chick, bud?
I don't know.
All right. Well, maybe we'll care about her if we find out. If it's Sarah Alexander, Kaleigh Rocha, or Sarah Shahi, I'm in.
Well, it ain't going to be Sarah Shahi. She's dark.
So?
Well, she'd be a native, but she won't be the girl. Maybe it'd be Sarah Alexander. She is blonde.
Oh, God, get out of here. I don't want to have that discussion. 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Tonight on our program, we featured Ted Bell, and we also had with us, starting the hour, Steve Bozell, who was talking about the Jay Leno jaywalking thing and what an imbecile he was because he didn't know. Peter Jackson directs King Kong. I just got the word. Thank you very much, Harry. Because he didn't know where Mexico was, and he didn't know who the vice president of the United States was. And that's that jaywalking segment. But the fact is, most people can't find, most people can't find their home state on a map. You think I'm kidding. Now, does that shock you, or do you think... See, I remember I was taking an anthropology class once in college, and the teacher said, and I'll never forget how stunned I was to hear this. I was really stunned. This was in 1970, and the teacher stood there, and he said, California has one of the highest rates of incest than any other state in the union. And I thought, my God. I remember how that just... amazed me, because I thought that was something that only happened in Alabama, right, or Mississippi. I mean, forgive me, folks in Alabama and Mississippi, that was the kind of prejudice that I was raised with, okay? And the fact of the matter is, that was the day I found out that California has more rednecks per capita, well, but more jackballs per capita than any other state. So when I found out that most people can't find their own state on a map of the United States, it didn't shock me as much, because I'd already had my face kicked in with that incest crack. Now I come to find out, if you put a map of the U.S. in front of most, you know what I mean by most, don't you? That means over 50% of us, we can't find our state. Where are you from? New Hampshire? Find it on a map. Well, I know what the state looks like. Yeah, I know you know what it looks like, because they got it hanging up in the classroom. Have they got it hanging up in the classroom in a big, you know, map of the U.S.? Like, if you get into the governor's office, you go to the highway patrol, they always have the big map of the state, you know? Hello, I'm Commissioner Bill Dean with the New Hampshire Highway Patrol. And then right behind him, there's the state of New Hampshire. But they don't show you the states around it. So you never do figure out where that is. It's like it's Middle Earth. It's a magical, mythical land called New Hampshire. And it just, once upon a time, a long time ago, where there was a place called New Hampshire. And here it was. And all these little roads and bridges and little highways. You don't know where it is, man. So now maybe that's not an important thing, because like I was saying to somebody today, I said, you know, I'm not very good at math. I can add, I can subtract, I can multiply, I can divide, I can do some fundamental kinds of algebra and maybe a little bit of calculus, but I'm not a genius. Does that, in other words, am I weird? In other words, is that shocking? Is that staggering? Because a guy that's into math might look at me and say, are you an idiot? You don't know how to do trigonometry? Or no, I... So maybe that's the same thing. I don't know. But I always thought that knowing where your house was, knowing where your state was, was kind of like swimming. You know, in other words, can you swim? No. Can you walk? No. Can you breathe? Yes. With these headphones reminding me, yes.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
See, I had a girlfriend that traveled all over America, and I would sort of visit her in the different towns that she lived in. You're right. My girlfriend was in a carnival. Now, no, she was in radio. And at that time, she had a gig and I didn't. No, wait a minute. I had a gig, but her gigs kept changing. So I lived in California and then I lived in Florida and I lived a bunch of places and she was all over the place. So I was always like flying into the town, and then I'd visit her, and I'd be in the apartment. I'm sure you've had that experience where she says to you, okay, I'm going to work now. Now, there's food here, and there's T-shirts, and there's filthy magazines, and also, if you want, you can get coffee. So she tells you where everything is, right? And you go, okay, baby, we'll see you later, okay? Okay, and then we'll go out to dinner tonight, and we'll go visit, yeah. So now there you are all by yourself, and so I flip on the TV, and I watch this show called Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? This show was the greatest show I ever saw, man. I love this show. Anybody remember seeing this show? Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego was a kid show, man, on public television, and it was a geography show. And it was bitching because they had this group called Rockapella, and these guys would come out and sing the theme tune live. They didn't have a recording. And the kids would all go, okay, do it, Rockapella. And these cats would come out. There's like five guys singing a cappella, Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? And they had as the chief that one actress, she just died. Anyway, what it was about was you got to find this spy, and her name is Carmen Sandiego, and she's hiding somewhere in the world. And the host of the show was this affable guy, and it was all a bunch of kids, and they had a giant map of a continent. At the end of, I forget how it went, but you needed to know, and as you went along, you would learn. And at the end of the thing, they'd have a giant map of, say, Africa. And they'd say, and then they give the kids some kind of a post or some sort of a marker. And they'd say, okay, Carmen is in Mozambique. Go find my... So the kids would have to go over there and put the marker in Mozambique. And then Carmen, she's over in Egypt. Then you have to put the thing... And it was the coolest show. And the kids would learn all about freaking, where they are. And I would watch this program with tears in my eyes. I'd just be like, I love it. I'd start singing the lyrics to Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego. And then it went off the air. Why? Because it was too good. That's why. All right, moving along. No, actually, I've got the lyrics to Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego right here. She sneaks around the world from Kiev to Carolina. She's a sticky-fingered filcher from Berlin down to Belize. She'll take you for a ride on a slow boat to China. Tell me, where in the world? And then the guy came in with a low voice. It's Carmen Sandiego. Well, she... And the next thing I know, I was looking around for Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, and the show's off the air, man. Is it still on?
Yeah, sometimes. I've seen it in reruns.
You like that show, bud?
I love it.
Really?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
All right. I'll show you something. See this?
Yeah.
This is a map of the United States. Find California.
I haven't a clue.
Then what's that about Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Sandiego?
San Diego.
I know where that is.
No, where? If you like that show, how come you can't find California in this map?
Because it wasn't about the states. It was about countries in Africa.
What do you mean it was about countries in Africa?
That's the only one I ever watched.
Oh, okay, man. And when it comes on reruns, you keep watching it, huh? Over and over again?
Yeah, that's the only one that comes up, the Africa one.
I bet you know all about Africa then, don't you?
That's why it scares me.
All right, in any event, it was a pretty cool little show, and they had, like I said, they had this. The last show was in 1995, man. The first show was 1991. The last one was in 1995, and that's the end of that, baby. Over and done. And they had that chief, and she'd sit there and say, okay, Carmen is, some kind of a kid thing, but you had to find her. And she was some kind of a spy. But I always thought the show was cool because it was a show about kids figuring out where the hell they are on a planet Earth instead of being a real dummkopf and not even being able to look at a freaking map and know where you're at, man. I really maintain, and if it's all the same to the powers that be in the military, honest to God, man, a lot of the guys that went to Vietnam didn't even know where Vietnam was. You think I'm kidding? And I remember talking to some of the kids who were going over to the Gulf during the Gulf War in 91. I said to them, you're going over to Free Kuwait. Yes. Where is Kuwait? I couldn't tell you. Can you find it on a map? No. So I would suggest that the military, the first thing you do is get out a bunch of... I know you guys have maps that show people, which pillbox to blow up, but get a big freaking map of the world and show these guys where they're going. Now, I think this generation of soldiers is a little bit smarter. I think most of these guys know where Iraq is. But you can't send a guy off to fight in a freaking war and he can't even find it on a map. Come on. Or can you? Those and other questions will be answered later on Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? Kids! All right, we'll be right back. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Webcast on the 11th of November. And when will the television show Teachers air? No one knows. As of today, our production has been pushed back a little bit. It could be a good thing. It could be a bad thing. It could be a bunch of hooey. It may be, our ticket to paradise, baby. I don't know. When will you see us on TV? Will you see us on TV? All of these things way, way, way up in the air. And I know if any of the actors that I work with on the show are listening right now, you're probably getting really paranoid. I don't know anything, man. Everything I've heard is really good, actually. That's why I don't believe any of it. No, everything I've heard is all really cool. You know, like, oh, yeah, yeah, we want to just get some extra writers. And, it's going to be good because we don't want to conflict with the Olympics. Yeah, sure. What a jackass. Who is that guy anyway? Who's putting all those words in my mouth? Time out for a little bit of email on the Phil Hendry Show. This one from T.L. Brandon. Phil, you sick, brilliant bastard. A couple of weeks ago on my way home from my horrifying Friday on my third cigarette, just trying to forget it all, when Chaz Nathan arrives on my taped rotation. Holy baby Jesus on a crutch, you nearly killed me again. Bless you, Phil, and all yours for all you do. Now that Corolla is gone, do you feel the pressure? Don't freak now. We need you. The night riding fan of Santa Rosa, TB. Corolla's gone. Is Adam Carolla off the show now?
Yeah, he comes back in January.
He comes back in January. Who's on now? Howard Stern. Is Howard off the show? Is Howard done? Oh, you talk about Loveline? Oh, I don't know. Anyway, man, who is Chaz Nathan? What did he do? I can't remember the bit, bud. Could you look it up?
Yeah, I'll look it up on the filming website.
Yeah, do that. All right, this is from a listener. North Carolina has their own tribe of triracial isolates like New York's Ramapo Indians called the Lumbees. In fact, there's a famous actress who's a Lumbee Indian, Heather Locklear. Yes, that Heather Locklear. She's one of them. Bull crap. I happen to know her mom, Diane Locklear. They're from California. Ooh, gotcha. Here is one. Hey, Phil, since you didn't get any decent emails yesterday, I'm sending you another one. Pierre, I told my son yesterday that I would will him all of my Phil Hendry Best Of discs as well as my many DVDs filled with MP3s. He was less than impressed, but then thought maybe he could sell them on eBay. I wonder if he resembles the milkman. I'll have to check that. Here is another from John. Hey, Phil, talking about you losing it on the air about 5 years ago, you totally laid into your producer or call screener on the air about something. I mean, it sounded like you were getting ready to fire him. This was before you started doing Bud and you were pissed. After the break, you kind of unraveled and all of the characters started coming on air, castigating you and telling you to apologize to the guy. You didn't want to listen to them and started telling them that they weren't even real, that it was you providing their thoughts and words, etc., and you didn't need to take their opinion into consideration. I thought the farm was coming to take you away and I'd be seeing you on the news the next day. Anyway, that would be awesome to play again, or at least put it on the archive so I could check it out. Keep it up. You're awesome. Very, very scary and sick. Thanks for everything you do, John. Oh, my God. Did I really do that? Oh, God. Must have been poor Chris Pelton. Now Chris works from his house. He just emails bits in. He doesn't have to look at me. Phil, I bet you cringed when you read the subject line of this email. You do the voices? ? Anyway, I just wanted to know why you never announce on the air that you do the voices of the characters. Now, this is a great email. I just wanted to know why you never announce on the air that you do the voices of the characters. Now, I used to have people complaining that I always announced on the air that I did the voices of the characters. Now, this guy wants to know why I don't. He says, I think it keeps it refreshing because you obviously know that when callers call in and talk to the characters, they still listen even though they called. And when you tell them that it was you that did the voice, they really feel like a jackass. Thank you, sir, for that thought. Here's one from Chris. I suffer from the same affliction you do, Phil. From time to time, I'll hear something, and it don't even have to be funny, that sets me off, and I'll be laughing for a long time. I can't remember for a long time when me and my brother would watch the Benny Hill show, and I would be left a twitching wreck for laughing so hard. In high school, when we had to read The Importance of Being Earnest, the name Bunbury would leave me cracking up and disrupting class for too many minutes. It is something I've learned to live with and now accepting as a part of daily life. All I tell people now is my parents drank while I was in the womb, and I did too much reefer. That makes everyone... I don't think this guy knows what I was talking about. I was talking about laughing so hard that I lose muscular control. Not just laughing. I mean, I laugh. I see people who can laugh and they can still walk. I see people who laugh and they can still reach for a glass and pour themselves milk. You know, I laugh so hard I collapse to the floor. That's not because the thing is that funny. It's because my body can't take. I can't explain it. Here's one from Mike. Let's start adding to the character clip, Henry, okay? A little more regularly. I'd like to see at least 3 30-minute clips every other day or so. Starting right away, that'd be great. Thanks. Oh, well, okay, man. Here's one from Column. Dear sweet Jesus, this Jackson White stuff is begging to be satirized. Please do something on them. Maybe husband Ginther could do something like Great Jackson Whites in History. Finally, thanks for some educational content on your program. I actually learned something today about our beautiful country instead of all the usual useless yet funny crap that you throw on the air. Thank you very much, sir. Well, I don't know whether I got a whole bunch of stuff about the Jackson Whites that I wanted to read last night. Instead, somebody put in the envelope or put in the folder here that had all the bad show ideas that Doug's supposed to see and then throw away. And I read those on the air instead. Now I don't have time to read these ones on the air. So really, my jaws are just completely tight. Anyway, thank you very much, guys. Email us whenever you feel the need, whenever you're feeling good. It's phs@philhenryshow.com. That's phs@philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Took my daughter over to a high school open house this morning, and she, of course, had to make the crack. Hey, when we stop at McDonald's, make sure you get 6 more hamburgers. Because what happened was the first time I took her to, I forget where we were, I was taking her to school not too long ago. It wasn't the first time I took her to school. The first time we stopped to get breakfast at McDonald's, that was it, I over-ordered, so now that's the big joke. Anyway, I can't believe she's going to be in high school next year, and it wasn't too long ago she was watching freaking SpongeBob SquarePants, who, by the way, I met the guy that does the voice for that, and with all humility, I must state that he's a big fan of our show, but I can't remember the cat's name. I think it's SpongeBob SquarePants. I mean, in other words, I think he goes by that name. Anyway, a very nice guy, and I told my daughter, hey, I know the guy that does the voice, and she doesn't care. See, the thing of it is about doing voices for cartoons, they can change out the voice, no one cares, man, no one cares. Like, I remember when the actors at Simpsons went on strike. Does anybody remember that? They didn't go on strike, but they wanted more bread. And I remember thinking, they deserve it, but the Flintstones changed out voices when I was a kid. I remember Barney started sounding different. It didn't matter. Within 3 months, I dug the new Barney. And I think Betty, the lady who did the voice of Betty, died, so they stuck another Betty in there. What difference does it make? Even Bugs Bunny, man. I see Bugs on TV. I know for a fact the guy that did his voice, Mel Blanc, is gone. They found another Bugs Bunny guy. Who's the guy that did the voices in that Roger Rabbit? What's his name? Charles Fleischer? That guy does all that crap. The other guy, Billy West, is fantastic. So they do all of them. And I was looking at this list of all the little kiddie shows. Tom Kenny, who's he? Is he the guy? Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, Tom. You're the guy that does the voice of SpongeBob. I'm sure. Tom Kenny, who's he? It's only a guy that walked up to you and paid you a compliment, Henry. You dork. So she's watching SpongeBob SquarePants. And then there was another one, Puff Sluts. I forget what it was called. And there's a whole lot of shows with that Puff title in it, man. And then after that, it was forget it. She's done, man. Now we ain't got one freaking cartoon watcher in the house. They are all through watching the cartoons. And you watch them go through the phases. I remember when the guys were into their wrestling phase. That was all they could talk about was wrestling. Then all of a sudden, one day, magically, they didn't give a crap. I went out for Christmas, and I got them a doll that stood about, I don't know, was probably a good 13 inches long. And anyway, this thing was a little wrestling doll. It could kick the crap out of it, right? And then one day, the kids were doing wrestling moves on each other, and they killed their younger brother. And I said, well, I guess it's about time we stop that. So, but magically, they just, boom, gone, done. Then it became big time. It became the video games. And now they're into the video games, but strictly a little bit of Halo, mostly StarCraft, and the rest of it is just crap. Except the kid, the younger brother, he's buying Xbox. It's coming out, the new one. I think it's Xbox 3. 400 fish in the dish, baby. 400 frog skins. Oh, yeah. And he's going to go out. He's going to wax floors. He's going to wash cars. He's going to stud himself out. He'll do whatever he can to raise that money, because I ain't giving him nickel one for that, although I will fully expect to be able to play on it when I want to. 1-800-449-8686, and our web address is www.philhenryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.